Hi, I'm Terry Snowden. Welcome to the Forever Mancunians series here on the Forever Manchester podcast platform. In each episode, we bring you an interesting and inspirational conversation with local people doing extraordinary things in our communities. My guest is Claire Courtney, who's the Managing Director of Manchester-based Heart and Parcel, who bring people together through cooking, making, sharing, eating, celebrating food, and developing language skills. Heart and Parcel was founded in 2015 by Claire and Carolina Kuskine.
Kotchian,
with the aim of supporting people learning English in their local communities and forging connections by developing English language and communication skills through the medium of food. Sounds delicious. Claire can be described as an English language practitioner. And I'm delighted to say hello and welcome Claire Courtney.
Hello, Terry.
Before we get into the story and the stories behind the story and obviously the wonderful world of great conversation and culinary delights, tell me something about you. Are you a Manchester girl?
I'm not a Manchester girl. I'm actually from down south, but I've lived here since 2006, 2005. Oh. So, yeah, I could say that I'm kind of into the Manchester family now.
Right. Well, yeah.
That long enough.
You're sort of adopted.
Adopted.
What's an English language practitioner?
An English language practitioner, oh, good question. So it is a teacher, essentially, but I do lots of different types of teaching. So it's not just in the classroom. We work with communities. We do practical classes, practical courses. And I also do a bit of assessing work on the side and some moderation of some exams. So a practitioner was the best fit, really.
Heart and Parcel was founded in 2015.
Yes.
Literally by two friends. Sharing a love of food and the connections and relationships surrounding it. So, how did Heart and Parcel come about? How did you get involved? And where did you get the name?
I love telling this story. So, myself and Carolina both worked at Café Rouge in East Didsbury years and years ago when we finished our studies. And I met Carolina there. We were both waitresses. And we just fell in love through a world of cooking and eating and sharing food together. But at the same time, Carolina had come over from Poland. She was still practicing her English, and she felt her English was excellent, but she felt that she was not really developing in certain ways. So we kind of bonded over that as well. We came together and started doing English classes, and then also talking about food and cooking in the evening times as well when I'd go over to her house. And yeah, that's how it started, really. There's the other side of it where I was running ESOL classes, which are government-run English classes for people learning English if they come over to the UK as migrants or asylum seekers or refugees and they need English language for their everyday lives. I noticed a problem there where quite a lot of the classes, although they were well-meaning, they didn't quite fit the learner's desires or motivations on what they actually wanted to learn. So I thought, let's start from the beginning. Let's ask them what they want to learn. Let's gather around, get some food together, and ask them how they want to learn English. And that's how it started.
So heart is the love of the language.
So heart,
parcel is the food.
So parcel, let me go back a bit. Poland and where I grew up. I grew up in Hong Kong. I also spent a lot of time working in China. Dumplings are a main staple in both cultures. And the way of cooking and making dumplings is a really shared process. One person folds, one person fills, one person pinches, one person rolls, one person cooks. All the while you're together, you're talking, you're chatting, you're whiling away the time. And it's a really kind of shared process, learning process. So we thought, let's put that in an English class, see how it works. And it just came all together. So heart is the love and the care that we give to the project. Parcel is the dumpling or any kind of wrapped food, because we realised that we had to kind of broaden our horizons a little bit. And parcel is a play on it, heart and parcel, including community. It all fits.
Now, much of your work is rooted in research surrounding ESOL. You'll have to tell me what that is. Mm-hmm. So it's four letters to me, ESOL. The English language provision, food studies, policy, migration, culture, identity, and arts-based practitioners, that support adult education and lifelong learning. So it's a whole lot more than just cracking a couple of eggs, isn't it?
It absolutely is, Terry. It absolutely is. I think to reduce the project to just food is kind of very reductive and also glosses over all the incredible identities and diversity of our learners who come to our sessions. And so, you know, policy, food, studies, migration, we started with a problem and a love. So a problem was that we also felt that ESOL, so ESOL, that's English speakers of other languages. So ESOL classes, government-run classes, although they were important, they were also very restrictive. So a lot of these classes that are put on by the government have been cut consecutively year on year through funding ever since 2015, and are getting smaller and smaller, and it's more difficult for learners to actually find and access free classes, which is what they desperately need to start their new lives here in the UK. We also found the restrictive eligibility of some of these classes. So, for example, if you're an asylum seeker with no recourse to public funds, you cannot attend some of these classes. There are certain schemes or certain funding that restricts learners from going onto these classes. So you can imagine the situation when all you want to do is try to communicate with people around you, try and start a new life for yourself, and you can't because you don't have that support when you come over. So we felt we wanted to take all that away. This is not acceptable. This is not what we feel that Britain is. We're very welcoming. We should be a very welcoming, celebrating society. And we wanted to show that everyone is welcome. So no criteria in our classes. Everyone comes together. And what we find is we find people make friends. They make connections. It's not just about the cooking. Through some of the cooking, you get to chat about, I don't know, the neighbour next door, or do you know a good place to get halal food, or what about your doctor? How are they? You know, you start to build these connections in your communities, in your local areas, and you start to find out all these different signposts and places that you can access. And through that, people tend to have better life opportunities, better experiences. They're less isolated. They're more confident with their speaking skills. There's just so much more there. There's also employability, but I can talk about that later as well.
Yeah, I think you answered my next question. I was going to say you believe that food and food-related activities, they're a valid and rich resource. Yeah, I have no doubt that they are a valid and rich resource in more ways than one. I was going to ask you to elaborate, but I think you've already just explained all.
Yeah, just to even kind of add to that, there are people who come to our classes, they hate cooking. There's a secret for you. They absolutely don't like cooking because in some of our learners who come, they come from certain communities where their responsibility is to cook in the home every day. It's a chore. It's a job. So actually they come and watch and they sit back and they chat with their friends and they eat at the end. And that's totally fine as well. The way in which that we do our classes is very informal, but at the same time with a high level of quality in terms of conversation, in terms of implementing English language learning, vocabulary, grammar, but in a very subtle way. And also always asking the learners, what do they want at the end? How do you want to learn?
Engaging communities and fostering social networks is also part of the key to a more fulfilling and satisfying life, I would imagine. I assume that helping in reducing loneliness and overcoming social isolation, perhaps are good examples of that. You also believe that many of those that you teach should also be celebrated for the rich skills and the knowledge that they each bring to the table. I should imagine everyone brings something to the party.
Absolutely. So the idea of going back to dumplings, we, you know, very started off with dumplings as a metaphor. You know, dumplings is a wrap food with something very plain on the outside, very unassuming on the outside. On the inside, you've got all this rich, filling, delicious things inside. And we just felt this was actually quite symbolic of people who come into this country where they're recognised only for their level of English, and not actually for the rich skills and previous experience that they bring with them to the country. It's not tapped into, it's not recognised, it's not celebrated, it's not acknowledged. And so we felt like this was a space where when you're doing informal classes, you're more able to have that time and that space to allow those identities to grow, to nurture. At the same time, you mentioned friendships and building up, you know, communities. We have so many long-lasting friendships now from our learners. They've met through these classes, they've met through our other projects, and they've become lifelong friends and support each other in their communities, then also supporting them in their lives later on. It's brilliant.
Now, your skills, Claire, along with your passion and interest in supporting and benefiting our communities, They're obviously pooled together to collectively contribute to the development and the ongoing popularity of Heart and Parcel. So with so many languages coming to the table all at once, and with English more often than not representing the development of a second language in many instances, how easy is communication? And how easy is it to organise sessions and activities?
That's a good question. We haven't been asked that before. So I think that everyone has to realise, and maybe this is a bit cheesy to say, but food is a universal language.
It's like music.
Exactly. So I think anything practical, anything that is visual, anything that kind of you can hear is something that can be learned very quickly. It can be a shared process. So to give you a bit of background, the reason why I found food so conducive to learning was when I was in China, I wanted to practice my Chinese, build up my language there. And one of the ways in which I could do it was going round to my friends' houses and cooking with them. So actually doing something with your hands, practically learning and matching vocabulary to what you're making, what you're doing, the ingredients, the process, also responding to people. It was the same with, I did dance classes there as well, and learning by doing. That was a really, really formative experience. So taking that back over to the UK, I realised that you don't have to be, you could actually be a complete beginner of the English language, but you can come in and we could point at an ingredient, for example, a carrot or an onion, and we could learn it in their language and then also then repeat it in our language. There's so many, what we call differentiation, there's so many different types of differentiation in our classes that go on. And so how do we organise it? It's actually quite a difficult thing to do. We have an ESOL tutor, always qualified ESOL tutor, who helps plan the sessions and helps make the sessions kind of informative and learning based. Then we also have our wonderful, wonderful volunteers. We could not do it without our volunteers. They come in and they act as teaching assistants, if you like, sitting one volunteer between two or three learners. So really, really kind of focused learning. And depending on the learner's level, the volunteers will have activities to match that. And then we also have our cooking teacher. And our cooking teachers are very interesting because they themselves are learners. So they started with us in 2015, some of them 2018, and some of them during the pandemic, where they wanted to do more. So we actually have this progression program. So not just learners coming in to learn English, we also have people wanting employability skills. I want to be a caterer. I want to be a chef. I want to do more. So actually, we started this Open Kitchens project. And that's also where Forever Manchester came in. It helped us to fund our first set of classes, of online streamed classes. And this is where we met some of those learners. So if we hadn't have had Forever Manchester's help, that wouldn't have happened, that project. And so they then came, set up, we trained them through, got them level 2 food, health and safety and hygiene for catering. And then they've learned how to present and to cook and to show their, teach their dishes in English to an audience. So we have them in our classes, but they now also do private catering. They also do work for private organisations, schools as well, and charities. So it's been a really, really amazing journey watching our learners develop through, but only if they want to. If they want to drop in for a class and go away, that's absolutely fine. There's no requirement for them to develop and progress through.
So when you first had the idea of rolling out something that became Heart and Parcel, did you envisage that you would get anywhere near that description you've just given?
It's so crazy, Terry. So our original thought was to do a cafe. Our original thought was to do a cafe, let's get together, get some of the learners doing some volunteering. It became very, very clear, unfortunately, with the current climate, that you can't really afford a cafe in this day and age now, and it's actually very, very hard work. So we decided to stay online during the pandemic. We've decided to stay peripatetic, doing all of our different classes and things popping up in different community centres. And actually that works so much better for us because we get to meet learners, and we get to have access to learners that are quite, I hate that term, but hard to reach. And so we go to the spaces, we go to the areas where people need that provision. So we've been up in Cheetham Hill, we've also been in Bury, and we've been alongside Ardwick, Levensume, Salford, and we go to the places where we hear from our partners and our organisations where is the most need for free ESOL classes.
Now, you mentioned before COVID. I first got to hear about Heart and Parcel during the pandemic. Obviously, while COVID grounded many groups and affected many people, You appear to be causing quite a bit of interest during lockdown. So, simple question. How did the pandemic impact on Heart and Parcel?
Hugely. So when it happened, again, I have to do a shout out to Forever Manchester. When it happened, we were terrified. We were really terrified. And we thought, how are we going to keep this going? We have face-to-face classes. Everyone's close together. There's no way we can keep on going. Someone thought about the idea. I think it was me. I'm not sure. Thought about the idea of doing online streamed classes. But we just didn't know where to start. And also, we needed some expert help. We needed a cameraman, we needed some production, we needed somebody to do the live streaming, and we needed ingredients. But that's where Forever Manchester came in with their emergency funds, and they helped us and got us the money very quickly within a short space of time, so we were able to keep our classes going without too much delay.
Wow.
It was absolutely brilliant. So we started off with that. We now have a whole YouTube channel, if you like, of English classes that can be tapped into again and again and again. We've also hired a material developer who went along and made English language activities. So a lot of our learners, if you want to study online for free, just go to our YouTube channel. We've also got on our website resources and materials that you can access to help learn more English. So that's free and available for anybody. It's also available for teachers as well who want to use it in their classes. And there have been lots of teachers who've used it in their classes for extra activities. So COVID was terrible at the start, but it actually helped us grow in so many ways professionally. And then from a kind of friendship level and socially, we actually expanded. So we started off with maybe 33 learners in one class. However, when COVID hit, we were reaching over 1,000 learners on the live stream. And these are people from the UK locally, UK nationally and internationally.
Oh,
it was absolutely incredible to have such a big community of people, not geographically, but this community of this shared experience of learning English through food. And it was just so well received. We had a really, really good time.
Books, let's talk about books. You've published a book, you've recently published another one. Publishing, was that something that you thought might be on the cards when you first set out?
Again, no. So I mentioned earlier that quite a lot of our sessions are organically steered and developed by the learners themselves. This is a very learner-centred project. So one of the bits of feedback that we got after 2 years of running was that learners loved cooking. It was great, and the conversational side of it, but they really wanted to develop their writing. They wanted to know how to kind of put sentences together. So we started a writing project, writing down recipes and stories around those recipes, and did a whole project around it. And then from there, the natural thing was, right, let's gather all these recipes. They're too good not to share. So we developed Cook, Eat, Write, Share, which was our first ever cookbook. We self-published it. We got a team of creatives together, an editor, a photographer, designers, working with the women, doing photo shoots with each of them, going around to their houses, decorating their foods, taking photos of them within their spaces. And it was a really, really good project because it also was a learning process for the learners themselves. They were able to think about what kind of information they wanted to give and what they wanted to tell. At the same time, what's this cookbook for? It's actually to keep ourselves sustainable. So although the funding pots are greatly received and very, very generous, they are not able to sustain a project on its general running costs. So we felt like the cookbook was the perfect opportunity to have ongoing sales of that carrying us through. And it did. So 2019, we published our first one. We did a print run of 1,000 and we sold out in just over 2 years, which then kept us going for that time. So we decided to do it again. This time even bigger, double the recipes, more learners and some special guest chefs as well coming in, donating their recipes, some celebrity chefs. That was really, really helpful. And then we decided to launch it again. It's just come, you came to the book launch and it was brilliant. Good. So it's a bit crazy, but we're really happy because this means we can keep our project running.
Sustainability is very important. Without
so
sustainability,
important.
We don't have anything
that's
to
it
look forward to.
Exactly, maybe. Exactly.
Tell me about, what do you think the impact of Heart and Parcel has been?
It's been impacting lots of ways that we mentioned before, Terry, maybe the community side of things, building up friendships and communication skills as well, and developing English language. But we also have the confidence of the learners. So a lot of the learners that we work with want to go on to do other things. So a big thing is employability. So quite a lot of our learners leave us with and go on to ask for references from us. So we give references to our learners for other jobs completely unrelated to food. But also at the same time, some of the opportunities that we provide for our learners give them job opportunities in the future. One learner in particular, she came with us to do a workshop for Chorlton High School, ended up getting a job there as a teaching assistant because they saw how she could work, how she could do things. We have people setting up their own food businesses. We had Layla in 2016 set up her own kibbeh business, which is a delicious, crispy Syrian dumpling. We've had lots and lots of different people who have come through our doors looking for employability skills, and they've really got them, and they've taken them on to do other things, work with other organisations, do other volunteering work. It's been really, really brilliant to see that.
Finally, just to wrap things up, I have a few quickfire questions. You can either come back to me with a couple of quickfire answers or maybe just one or two comments if you like.
Oh,
it's
my
entirely
goodness.
Up to you. I read somewhere that you worked in China.
I did, yes. I worked in China across some universities and in some schools. It was great. Loved it.
Do you speak any other languages?
I speak some Chinese, yes, Mandarin.
You believe that all people learning English here in the UK should have the right to free English language lessons?
Absolutely. I think it's so important. If you look at other countries' models and how they do it, they actually, in some countries, I think it's in Germany, I'm not sure, they actually pay, or historically you pay for people to go to classes because it's a job and it helps everybody. It's not just the individual. It helps our whole society. We hate this idea of that someone coming into this country needs to prove themselves to be a good citizen, to learn English to a certain level, to try and commit themselves to society. And yes, that is important, but what are we doing? You know, how are we helping? How are we managing that as well? So I think we all have a responsibility for it. And I think one of the small things we can do is just offer free classes. It doesn't cost that much.
What's your favourite food?
Dumplings.
Do you know what? I
feel pressured to say that now.
You knew you were going to say dumplings. Who's your favourite Mancunian?
Oh, gosh. Terry.
I'll take it.
Is that the right answer?
Claire Courtney. Thank you for taking the time to chat today.
Thank you so much.
Can we wish you, everyone at Heart and Parcel, continued success. Every success for the future going forward, and thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Terry. It's been such a pleasure. I've had such a good time.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Forever Mancunians. If you like the show, please follow us in your podcast app, and if you have time, leave us a review. To find out how you could work with Forever Manchester, show your support, receive a newsletter, or make a donation, check out forevermanchester.com.